Good morning. How are we doing? Some people will be really good. Others will be very not good, in real despair. So I'm going to read to you Psalm 23. Have you heard of it before? It's the fourth time I've preached on this in the last few years. It's quite popular. In the Sunday school, what are they doing now? Psalm 23. I think there's a theme going here, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, that's up there now. Are my clickers working? And the Holy Spirit's here? We've got a chance. Very good. One phrase in that psalm really hit me. Walking through the valley. Now, I was an ex-geography teacher. Do you remember lessons, geography, valleys? It's not boring. Your U-shaped valleys and your V-shaped valleys, interlocking spurs. Do you remember it all? No? Okay, £25 an hour. I'll do some extra lessons for you. The valley. Valleys are often very nice and pretty, aren't they? But this valley isn't a nice valley. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It doesn't say we might walk through, it's when we walk through, because we, in our lives, will walk through valleys. Some of us are in a valley right now. Some of us will be in the valley this week, or maybe 5 years' time. So it's relevant to everybody, either today or down the line. Sometimes we call it a desert time, a dry time in our lives, or it can be a stormy time. We can say we're in a stormy time or a desert time or a valley time. It's when life is tough, really tough. But don't worry, because this morning I have an encouraging word for us about the valley. It's not all negative, it's good. Now, these valley experiences are inevitable. It's not possible that we might go through it. We will be going through a valley sometime in our lives. And this valley isn't a pretty valley full of nice trees and fields. It's a pretty horrible valley. Listen to these words it says. I walk through the valley of the shadow, death, fear, evil. These aren't nice words. Death, shadow, fear, evil. It's pretty horrible, really. And as a teenager and a young man, I went through no valleys, really. I went through life pretty easily. Nothing much happened bad. It was pretty good. 1987, the whole year was a valley. It was desperate for me. I was in the pits. I was absolutely rocked to my core, as my wife was as well. A horrible, horrible year. It was terrible. A year I wish on nobody at all. We've all been through valleys like that. We'll go through them in the future. In this church, we've been through a valley this year, haven't we? When my sister Aqua died, goodness me, weren't we absolutely devastated as a church? We were, that Sunday morning in church, we were crying, hugging each other. What a valley we were in. Everyone goes through a valley. Your family will go through a valley. The church will go through a valley. It can be to do with bereavement. It can be an illness. A breakdown of relationship. It could be rejection of something. But the valleys are inevitable and they're not pleasant. So a question is this. Why do we have valley experiences? Why? Well, sometimes it's our own doing. Because think of the analogy of the Psalm 23. We are sheep. And sheep are a bit silly. And they stray, don't they? Sheep wander off on their own and do their own thing. Sometimes we wander off, do our own thing. So sometimes it is my fault I'm in the valley. I've been stupid. Yeah, silly. Yeah. Sometimes it's others doing. I've got a great job, things are going well. And then suddenly, the company's taken over and I'm made redundant. Suddenly, help, I've got no work. I have a wife to support and kids. I've got, it can be a sudden experience like that from not our own doing at all. Sometimes the good shepherd who leads us through the lovely pasture and the still waters and the paths of righteousness, the good shepherd leads us through the valley. The good shepherd himself, lying green pastures, leads us by quiet waters, leads us in paths of righteousness, but also is with us in the valley. The good news is this. The valley is not our destination. Don't live in a valley. We pass through the valley. It says this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We must go through it, not round it. Many of us want like to circumnavigate the valley. No, we go through the valley. It's painful. It hurts. It can be threatening. It can be distressing. We might feel hopeless. We've got to go through that valley. We walk through the valley. There's an end to the valley. It's not a cul-de-sac. There is an end to the valley. It might be a short valley. It might be a long valley. My worst valley was a year long, I would suggest. Some people might be a short valley. It could be a few years. We also, it says we walk through the valley. Some of us want to run through the valley, sprint through the valley. Whew, Usain Bolt, he's gone. There's the valley. But in fact, we don't run, hop, skip, jump. We don't stop. We don't do a U-turn. We actually walk through the valley. Examples, I could ask people in the church about valleys. You've all got a valley. I'm sure you could share with me something in your life when it was quite desperate times. In the Bible, our friend Joseph, he was in a valley for 13 years. What happened to Joseph, of course? His brother sold him to slavery in a pit. He was taken. He ended up in a prison in Egypt. For 13 years, he was in a desperate place before God brought him through into the promise of fulfillment. What about Moses? 40 years in the wilderness, minding a few scruffy sheep, waiting and waiting and waiting for God to move. 40 years in a valley. No two valleys are the same. My valley and your valley aren't the same. We can empathize with each other, but valleys are not the same. So, carrying on. How do we react when we are in the valley? Two ways. We can be negative or positive. Let's do the negative first of all. We can have panic, fear, and despair. We can completely go overboard, can't we? Initially, panic sets in, fear, and we despair. We can escape. I put here drink, pills, and drugs. Often the case. I had a friend called Jeff, became a Christian. He was from the Northeast, man. He was from Newcastle. And Jeff, his mother was dying. And he went home from Wigan to his mum's in, and his brother turned up as well with bottles of whiskey. Because his brother could only get through it by supping whiskey all the time. He couldn't cope other than that. Many of us in the valley do resort to these sort of things, like drink. Be careful with alcohol, folks. Be careful with alcohol. Be careful with it. We can throw ourselves completely into our work or our hobbies. You know, play golf 3 times a day to escape from it. Or work 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, 80 hours a week. A pity party. Everyone look at me. Oh, I was in a church in Rochdale once, sharing time. This lady got the microphone and told us all what was wrong with her for 20 minutes and sat down. Thank you. Hallelujah. Absolutely depressing. No, pity party. Everyone look at me, please. I'm feeling pretty rough today. I, you know, I've got a sore toe. Feel sorry for me. No. We blame God. It's your fault, God. God's got big shoulders, can take it, by the way. But we can blame God. We can blame others. It's not my fault. It's my wife's. It's my daughter's. It's David Cox. Usually is, actually. You either go at Carol, I'm going to go at you. Blame the church. You know, I was ill, and no one came to see me from church. And the pastor didn't pray for me. And you can blame the church. Ultimately, of course, not put this down, we can react by the ultimate, taking our own life. And people we know personally, have taken their own life. That's negative, depressing. But here's the good news today. We don't need to be negative about being in the valley. We're passing through the valley. We're walking through the valley. But this is the fantastic news. It says, thou art with me. I'm sorry, Wes. I don't like old-fashioned English like you like Shakespeare. I'm sorry. Thou and these. But I like you and all. But I like this phrase. You know, you are with me sounds good, doesn't it? But thou art with me is a bit... No? Is it me? Shall we say together this? Thou art with me. One, two, three. Thou art with me. Again. Thou art with me. If you want to say you are with me, you certainly can do. Because you are with me. It's good to talk. It's good to share things with each other. It's good not to be on your own. Please do, if something's bothering us, we want to share with other Christians to pray. That is true. But ultimately, God is with us. The shepherd, the good shepherd is with us. We can trust in the good shepherd all the time. If you're a believer, you can trust in the good shepherd. It says in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Whoa. Again, Jesus says this in the same chapter. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd is with us right now. Listen to this. If the good shepherd loved me enough to lay down his life for me 2,000 years ago, I don't need to worry about him holding my hand in the valley. If the good shepherd loved me enough to lay down his life for me 2,000 years ago, I don't need to worry about him holding my hand in the valley. He is holding our hand. He will never leave us. He's walking with us. He is leading us. He's looking after us. He's preparing us for the next season. He's teaching us stuff. The good shepherd is so good. What he does is, he's got 99 sheep. He's counted them in. They're sorted in the sheepfold. There's one missing. This shepherd goes off in the night through the storm and finds that one sheep who's lost. That was me. That was you. That's the good shepherd. He leaves the ones safely behind and runs off after the other one. That's how good the shepherd is. And the good shepherd is the one who is with us in the valley. We aren't on our own. Also, I think in the valley, it's Remembrance Day, isn't it, today? We must remember what we've learned in our core. We need to develop all our lives a core of, I call it a belief system, what we believe, what we really actually do believe. What do we believe? I learn more about God's ways, God's principles, and God's promises. I need to actually embed them in my life. So when the time comes of testing, I can cope with it. I can walk in the valley with the Saviour. I'll put on there a few examples, a few illustrations. I say to every month, I say, take notes on a sermon. Do you know you spend 25 minutes here listening to me drone on? Is it gone then? You go home and forget it. What do? If you take some notes on your phone or in your book, you can go through it again. We've had four remarkable sermons recently, remarkable sermons. We had Alejandro talking about faith, that small cloud. Remember that one? We had James Moss talking to us about, oh, you have little faith. We had Gretchen Jones talking about faith, facts, feelings. We had David Cork. I've never heard David Cork better than last Sunday. Very, very challenging expectations. Fantastic, great. Miss these sermons. Do some homework tonight. Go home. Type in Hebron Pentecostal Church Rochdale. He'll come up. Our website. It's really good. It's improving all the time. Click on sermons. They're all there, these sermons. There are four good sermons, so I'm going to break the run now. But go home and listen to this again, because it's been recorded. It'll be on there. You can go through it again. It's good to go through that. I know if a sermon's good or not. If a sermon's good, I'll go home and reread that chapter. I went home last Sunday and reread what David read. It meant something. It's not just listen to sermon, it'll go in and out. Try and get it inside you. Learn a verse from the Bible. Write something down. Get involved. Don't be so flippant as just to listen to sermon. That's it. It's not good enough. Get something of God, God's word, inside you, the word of God. Remember this. I put some things down here. Put them down. Who are we? Remember this. I am forgiven. I am set free. I am a child of God. God's my heavenly Father. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I died to sin and I live for righteousness. Jesus promised he would never leave me or forsake me. I can approach the throne of God anytime with freedom and confidence. He holds my hand in the deepest, darkest valley. As I wait on him, my strength is renewed like the eagles. Although without him, I can do nothing. With him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These are things you need to have inside me and inside you. Get them inside your brain, your mind. Rehearse them, learn them, practice them, read about them. Get things inside us. By doing this, we'll actually grow the Word of God inside us, a good theology inside us. We need that. So when we hit the horrible valley, then we know we won't crumble. We won't be in despair because God is with us. So in the valley, never forget, the Good Shepherd is with you. He's holding your hand and he'll never let go. So what's the result of a valley experience? What's the result of it all? Well, we discover more of what God is like. His character. We learn more in the valley than we do on the hilltop. We learn so much in the valley experience about life itself. We learn to trust in God. Often when things are going very, very well, do you need to trust in God? Well, you do, but do you really? Things are going well. Everything's okay. We learn to discover what we are like. It can be quite tricky, can't it, that? And we can produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Interesting. Where do trees grow? In the valley or mountaintop? How do you get fruit in your life? Well, we abide in Christ, don't we? Think about what you need, nine fruit of the Spirit. What do we need in our lives in the valley? I think we need two things. I think we need self-control and patience. Self-control and patience. How do you get these? Self-help. Getting more self-control now, more patience. No. How do you get these things? The answer is, by abiding in Christ, the vine, we will produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, I think we get more fruitful in the valley, the dark times, than the fantastic times when things are going really, really well. So the fruit of the Spirit, abide in the vine, and we'll produce much fruit. And we can help others as well. My final point is this. We can help others really well. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You see, if you have a marriage breakdown or you have a problem, say, with drug addiction, I can help you to some extent. I've never been a drug addict. And my marriage is very strong, so I can't really. But I'll tell you something. If you have a caught death, I can help you there, mate. I've been there. I can help you. It's a horrible, horrible time. I've helped other people in that pit, in that valley, because I've been there. So when you're in a valley, a horrible valley, the good news is, when you walk through a valley with Jesus, the good shepherd, what happens is, you learn so much. When you get through the valley, you'll find somebody else in that very same valley you can help. So never, don't be so self-centered, as it were, that you forget other people can benefit from that. So I'd like to summarize this by the words of a song. Could you put the last song on, please, there, Reggie? Matt Redman's one of my heroes. He's had some rough times with his kids, Matt has, and he wrote this song, You Never Let Go. And I'd like to read this song before we sing it, so I'll invite the band to come back up here. Just listen to these words. Listen to these words of this song. It's fantastic. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near. Thank you. Next one. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Carry on. Oh, no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. When it's calm, sometimes, I think we need more of the calm than the storm, don't we? We need more of the mountaintop. Things are going really well. We don't need it. I'm okay, God, today. I need to pray. I'm okay today. But in fact, I think we need God more than the valleys sometimes. Oh, no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh, no, you never let go. You never let go of me. Carry on, please, Reggie. I can see a light is coming. The valley isn't there forever. For the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. There'll be an end to these troubles, an end to your troubles. But until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I fear no evil, for you, my God, are with me.